He does. Yeah. This new record, the study they've been playing, it's the first time he's really, like, you know, kind of raved about what we were doing.
Yeah.
Though he seemed loyal in public, he worked behind the scenes to stir up, arouse, incite revolution.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
You're listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Lucy Lyon, the King of Beasts.
Music from elsewhere and beyond.
Huge elephant trumpet across the plains.
Imaginary soundtracks to unmade foreign films.
And there are rhinos. Those craggy creatures surviving from a bygone age.
Snack Point Charlie. Hosted by Jeff Economy. Every first Wednesday from 10 p.m. to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elaine Shimono of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Duro, you gotta let it bump. Like that, yeah. Come on, bring the chorus in. Yeah, I do a bit, lose the bread, busting, trusting that. Run up the heaven doors, exchange my life for yours. Leave a stake out the door, mi casa, su casa. Just remember to turn the lights off in the hall. My brother from another pop. Minus one shot, we need no one. G-Money, man, we all we got. From the stoop to the big dude, stopping us from playing hoops. And us getting mad, throwing rocks off the roof. Straight thugging, man, I thought we would never progress. But look at us now, man, we young execs. My name, my big, my time, my high, my Gotti. We your body, all that's right with the world. No matter how pretty she is, you never liking my girl. That's how we run when you ain't around. I spank your son, keep him in line. If you should die, I keep him like mine. God forbid, keep this in mind, my little baby, but these streets raise me crazy. Product of my environment, nothing can save me. Thanks for letting me bloom, for your wisdom, for your womb, for the roof over my head, for my shoes, for my bed. For the most important lesson in life was when you said, strive for what you believe in, set goals and you can achieve them. Thanks for the days you kept me breathing, when my asthma was bad and my chest was wheezing. Thanks for the look of love, just as I was leaving on night. You thought I wouldn't come back, that left you grieving.
Live, what's up? Here we go. Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC broadcasting at Greg Catskill or Hudson. That was a song by Jay-Z, Anything. We're in front of the studio audience preparing to bring you a Black History Month title today. We're going to kick off the show after the local news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekasevic reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors on January 12th approved the appointment of Ken Dow as the new Democratic Election Commissioner. Dow and Republican Commissioner Kelly Miller-Simons take over for Democrat Virginia Martin and Republican Jason Natsky, who oversaw something of an election fiasco at the end of 2019 with much delayed results. Natsky declined to seek the position again, and Columbia County Board of Supervisors rejected Martin's reappointment. Dow previously served as election commissioner from 2005 to 2008. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Diane Valden reports in the Columbia paper that at the January 16, 2020 meeting of the Ancrum Town Board, Councilperson David Boyce said that the Ancrum Town Hall does not recycle. Boyce said, and I quote, "This building does not recycle," end quote, saying that the town hall has one dumpster and I quote, "everything under the sun goes in it," end quote. Papers collected through the county clerk keeping identities of seniors safe program is shredded and taken elsewhere, possibly recycled. Since that meeting, there are now blue containers for recycling in the Ancrum Town Hall and a separate dumpster outside for recyclables. And Ancrum officials have also spent money on recycled toilet paper and paper towels and environmentally friendly cleaning supplies. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Ted Rimschneider reports in the Berkshire Record that the Environmental Protection Agency announced February 10th that General Electric will clean up the toxic PCBs from the Housatonic River and pay five southern Berkshire towns $54 million. GE will set up a toxic disposal site on the Lee Lennox border as part of its cleanup, though the most highly contaminated material will be sent out of state. The upland disposal facility will be set up at the Lane Gravel Pit property at the Lee Lennox line for the lower-level contaminated materials from the river. And you can read more about this story in the Berkshire Record. Leslie Kaufman reports for the Bloomberg website that a new study suggests that passing more air pollution regulations in New York may not help air quality here. The study released February 12th in the journal Nature showed about half of deaths related to poor air quality in the United States don't occur in states where the pollution entered the atmosphere. The study claims 3,800 New Yorkers died prematurely from air pollution created outside the state in 2018. Stephen Barrett, the principal researcher, who is also a professor of aeronautics and astronautics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, said, and I quote, "The number of deaths that are due to cross-state pollution are much bigger than anything we thought," end quote. There was good news in the study, a drop in emissions from power plants, but that was offset by an increase in commercial and residential emissions. And you can read more about this story at the Bloomberg website. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to all the ladies, gentlemen, and everything in between out there in Radio Land. Everybody knows what day it is. That's right. It's the day before Half Price Chocolate Day. It's good, too, because we're going to need some hot chocolate to warm up our bodies on this cold Friday. It's going to be about 21 degrees all day long. Grab those sunglasses for the afternoon. Overnight, it's time to stoke those fires and those passions. You'll need them to keep you warm through the 4-degree temperatures we're going to see before sunrise on Saturday. Then things really start to warm up and winds calm down a little as the temperature rises to 30 by 3 p.m. Strategic cuddling will be in order overnight into Sunday as the temperatures get down to the mid-20s before thrusting back up to the low 40s on Sunday. Sunset today will be at 5.05 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6.53 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sky is lonely as there are no near-Earth objects expected today. Solar wind speed is currently 339 kilometers per second at 5.6 protons per millimeter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is too quiet. There have been 12 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the Better Weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wavefarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wavefarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here's what we do at the clubhouse. 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 It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, it's your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the radio at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse.
That was a clubhouse original theme song by DJ WIC. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, presenting 1 hour of Black history. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse parent organization or the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. I'm DJ A, and I'm here with...
Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
Right, DJ Walter Wizite. DJ Walter Wizite.
DJ Popcorn.
In the building. And today's topic is Black History Month. And we in here to discuss that and everything that we want to say about it. So what's good? What's on your minds for this Black History Month? How's it been treating you?
You know, it just feels good to be black in this time and era, you know?
We get the whole month.
Yeah.
It's lit. All 28 days of it.
Yeah. And, you know, just, like, going back to, like, just thinking back to some of the stuff that's happened to, like, black people. And now that, like, we're actually, like, celebrated and before we were, like, looked down on upon, like, you know, just by the other peoples of, you know, America back then. And now just looking at what, like, current day is. We're kind of like, we actually get to be celebrated, and you know, we have something like for ourselves and something to actually be proud of, like, you know, what we worked for back in the days when we were like just slaves and nobody really cared about us, you know. So
yeah, came a long way. Yeah, I'm excited for Black History Month as well. You know, it's our time to shine, but we've been shining, but we got to come harder though. But you already know, man, like Black History Month, I feel like it's a wonderful thing, but at the same time, it's like, it could also be like, you know, like a sad thing.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of bad memories with it and everything. Like, you know, we come so far from.
Yeah. Because with the good things come the bad things, and then there's perspectives.
So far from the segregation and the, you know, civil rights movement and all that type of stuff that we went through. You know, of course, the slavery, and then, you know, the things our grandparents and parents went through. The
it really wasn't that long ago, actually.
It really wasn't.
It really was not.
It wasn't. So. We only been, I think we only been free like a little bit over 100 years, if yeah. that. Which is crazy. It sounds crazy to me, right? Doesn't yeah. that sound crazy?
It does.
Yeah.
Like, that's something crazy right there to even think about. But, yeah. It's something to celebrate as well. Something to be, our people came a long way. They fought for this. You know? We got great leaders like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, who fought for us, who stood tall throughout the marches. People who were not even mentioned, who stood up, that we probably would never even know, that fought yep. for it. You know what I mean?
You know, people like, even people from back then, you know, we got our Harriet Tubmans, our Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, the people like that.
Yeah.
That have just, like, been leading black people through all, like, the oppression and things like that. Things that have just been happening and, like, things that, like, you know.
I think, like, Harriet Tubman's, like, her story is so great and powerful. Yeah. And, like, I feel like lately, like, in these times, she's been made of a bit of a mockery.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie?
Yeah.
The Harriet Tubman movie? I feel like it was a good movie, but I feel like it's like if she's been like, I don't know why I get the sense of like she's being made of a mockery.
Yeah.
Even down to the, he just came out with the debit cards and they got her mm-hmm. face on it and she's like doing the X.
Yeah.
Like the Wakanda Forever symbol or whatever symbol that is. Yeah. They got her door like, I feel like they're just making a mockery yeah, of her, but. You know, it's still great to see the accomplishments and everything else, but I feel like we need to take more.
Yeah.
Us as a people, we need to put our voices together and tell them that and show them that she needs to be taken more serious than what
yeah.
than what she is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's
see,
just my opinion.
I think that, like, now that we're not, like, not so looked up upon, we just recently had a black president, which was one of our, like, what like the greatest like
moments
greatest
in history?
Yeah, like one of the greatest accomplishments in black history like that we've ever had, like just having even Obama in office, like the fact that he ran and won, you yeah, know, and stood yeah. for like black rights and things like that, and getting people health care, and you know, just making sure that everybody's good and just like knows that everybody's not like the same like peoples.
Yeah.
And that people like go through the same experience, like people live in trenches and things like that. So I feel like it's important that our president at the time got to address those kind of things and help people out.
Yeah, like see, like that's the thing. Like I'm saying, like our leaders need to be taken serious. Like
yeah.
it's not a game. It's not nothing to, for them to be mocked or played around with. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Right.
Like these are great leaders, great people that helped us to be where we are today as a people. And I feel like they should be respected more.
Right. I remember somebody asked me, why isn't there a White History Month? Someone actually asked me that. And I said, every month is your month. This is, like, we need
exactly.
1 month to
yeah. So,
right.
like, I agree with you. We
actually embrace black history.
Yeah,
embrace
to actually
it, right.
embrace what we went through and all of the pain and all of the suffering and our parents. And,
right.
We need to have, you know, black history years, if anything.
Our ancestors right. had to go through to get us to where we even at
for
right
real.
Now. Like,
right.
We could take it back all the way from eating scraps off the plate and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, feeding our babies, the leftovers, the rotten food. We came a long way to being our own entrepreneurs and
yeah.
owning our own restaurants and stuff like that. And we need to take that and be more serious with it. You know
and
what
then,
saying?
Like, so, just like even like questions like somebody asking me, like tells me, like, oh, like why y'all got Black History Month? You wasn't alive back then picking the cotton. Okay, so my ancestors was alive back then.
Yeah,
like that's the kind of stuff that just like, you know, it just takes me off. It
right.
just
and people will be like, you know, slavery ended a long time ago, which that's actually not true. It's not that
yeah,
long ago.
Yeah, 100 years
about
is
it.
Not that long ago.
Right, but after slavery, like, we had nothing after that. They thought that they
yeah.
were doing us a favor, but we had nothing after that. And we, having slaves, I mean, imagine all of those white owners of land who had slaves, and they got free work. They got free work for years, hundreds of years. They got free work just building up themselves. I mean, it was nowhere near fair. After, and we're still, I mean, it's still like affecting
yeah.
like, you know, like it still affects us. That's hundreds of years of free work. Do you know how much, like, it's just, I don't understand,
because you know, I feel like nothing can really, like, bring, like, pay us back for those years that we slaved on the plantations, just sitting there picking up cotton, losing our families.
Our people slaves, yeah. Right now, what I want to do is play a clip from Martin Luther King from a speech that we had that we wanted to present on radio right now for Black History Month, and then we'll elaborate on it right after this.
Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream.
That was Dr. Martin Luther King, a little piece that we thought we'd share with y'all. What do you guys feel about that little clip?
Very empowering speech. One of the most iconic speeches in history, actually. Like, if you ask anybody today, what's one of the most well-known speeches in the world? And it would be this one right here, because it stood out so much and meant so much to the people of this country.
Yeah.
And just, like, getting to analyze some of the things that he said. It's not just him saying, I have a dream, over and over again. No, he's actually spreading like a message here and trying to get something across. Like, I can go back to where he said about when that one day on the Red Hills of Georgia, that sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners can sit at the same table together. You know, that's something that spoke to me, because, you know, during that time we had, you know, segregation laws that separated us from, you know, and, like, it separated us from, like, white people. So, you know, and I just feel like it. So, yeah, I just feel like if today, like, the segregation laws were still a thing, you know, that'd be a huge problem, especially with things that are going on in the country, just, like, you know.
I mean, I feel like it was a powerful speech in it, but do you guys feel like the dream that he had is fulfilled, or in some case?
Yes, because now when, you know,
like things that he was talking about?
Yeah, like things like the Jim Crow laws were dropped, and now we have, you know, this country that's basically a huge mixing pot. We've got people of all races, like, sitting together and making families and things like that, and, you know, just living in poverty. And it just,
I thought it was interesting that he said he has a dream that was deeply rooted in the American dream, because I feel like America is, you know, everybody says we're a big melting pot, but, I mean, is everyone treated fairly? I mean, even today, I still think that there's a lot of... Right, exactly. I feel like
there's still racism that exists in this country. That was my question, like, right there.
That was why I asked that question. So, we got the clip on Malcolm X also, right? We got a little something from Malcolm, because we want to...
Malcolm handled things a little differently, but...
Yeah, that's what we want to get into after we play the clip. We're going to talk about the difference of how they handled things and how they saw different things for the same cause, but wanted to handle it in different ways.
As many of you know, last March, when it was announced that I was no longer in the Black Muslim movement, it was pointed out that it was my intention to work among the 22 million non-Muslim Afro-Americans and to try and form some type of organization or create a situation where the young people, our young people, the students and others, could study the problems of our people for a period of time and then come up with a new analysis and give us some new ideas and some new suggestions as to how to approach a problem that too many other people had been playing around with for too long. And that we would have some kind of meeting and determine at a later date whether to form a black nationalist party or a black nationalist army. There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people. And tonight we are here to try and get an understanding of what it is they've come up with. Also, recently, when I was blessed to make a trip or a pilgrimage, a religious pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca, where I met many people from all over the world, plus spent many weeks in Africa trying to broaden my own scope and get more of an open mind to look at the problem as it actually is. One of the things that I realized, and I realized this even before going over there, was that our African brothers have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education.
Yeah. Hello, we're back.
So I feel like Malcolm and we all know that they both had two different views and two different ways they wanted to handle this. They both had their two different ideas to handle it. Martin thought it was better to handle with peace. And, you know, Malcolm stood for affirmative action, take action. He was all about taking action. And I felt like, in my personal opinion, I felt like it all just worked. It just went together.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a good mixture.
Whether or not, you know, we went and we took action or whether or not we told the people the way we actually felt. And it comes together in a way that just, it bring people up in a sense, you know. It gave them, well, mostly black people, you know, the power to want to stand up for themselves and want to make a movement and want to get people to want to, like,
you
know.
Both sides of it, you know what I mean? They got the people who want to do it peacefully and then you got the people who are ready to, by any means.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
By any means necessary.
Even though I appreciate how, even though he was, you know, wanted to take action, he was still, you could tell that he was an educated intellectual. He was standing up there, he was black and educated, and you could tell. Even just here when we were watching him, he was wearing a suit, he had a hat on, his glasses, he was looking at everybody, and he was speaking himself properly. He sounded good. He wasn't coming out here, and he wasn't just trying to start some riot.
Yeah,
and,
it was well.
He still did it with class.
Yes, I agree. Totally.
So, before we go into our news break, we're going to play you Styles P, I'm Black.
It's one of my favorite joints.
I'm black, whether I'm poor or rich or poor, dog, it's all the same shit. I'm black, even though my skin's kinda light, that mean my ancestors by somebody white. I'm black, so I like to sing, dance, and crack jokes, eat good food and be around black. I'm black, so I like the oldies on Sundays, drink all night and still go to work Monday. I'm black, so I like my kids looking real nice, cause I've been poor and I know what it feels like. I'm black.
I say it loud like James Brown. People be proud cause we all up in the game now.
I'm black,
and I'ma hold my right fist real high. I might see my man and we might get real high.
I'm black,
and I know it and I ain't afraid to show it.
I'm black,
and I'm a genius and a motherfucking poet. You know it.
So proud to be just who I am. So proud to say that I'm me. So proud to be just who I am. So proud to be so free.
I'm black.
So proud to say that I made it.
I'm black.
With all of the struggle and the hate.
I'm black.
And I'm not afraid to say it.
I'm black.
I'm black. Cause I don't say it again.
I'm black. So I got a heart full of bravery. Do it for my peoples that went through slavery. I'm black.
So you know I'm young in the sports. 90% chance I get hung in the court.
I'm black.
Don't you be scared of me, mister. Cause you don't really seem to be scared of my sister.
I'm black.
And I could buy first class too. Or buy an exotic car like Merc past you.
I'm black.
And I don't need a tan in the winter. Mind strong and powerful, non-cypher can't enter.
I'm black.
And I don't need jewelry to shine. My skin color is like the jewelry is blind.
I'm black.
They focus on the negative attention. Do something positive and never get mentioned.
I'm black.
Listen, it's a fact. Original man, I wouldn't change it if I could, and that's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. So proud to be just who I am. So proud to say that I'm.
I'm black.
And I'm not afraid to say it.
I'm black.
I'm black. I'm black. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm black. Even with a caramel complexion, look in the mirror, see Malcolm and Martin reflection.
I'm black.
Just like the Panthers, looking for an answer. This prejudice, it's like a cancer.
I'm black.
Look in my eyes, the world can't get pulled over. Look in my cars, I stay getting pulled over.
I'm black.
Meaning public enemies, number one government. Looking in the hood, sending in the.
I'm black.
I grew up off the good times show. Drink liquor, smoke, then let the good times roll.
I'm black.
I live for my wife and my seeds and my mind with a vine only God could exceed.
I'm black.
I got to show my homeboys love. First thing you learned in the hood was homeboy love.
I'm black.
And I'm that if I ain't nothing else.
I'm black.
I'm beautiful, I love myself.
Yep. Just who I am.
So proud to say that I'm me.
So proud to be just who I am.
So proud of me, so free.
I'm black.
So proud to say that I made it.
I'm black.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Abby Hoover is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Columbia County Board of Supervisors last month approved a settlement with the Order of the Sons and Daughters of Italy for expenses incurred when a portion of the Order's property, located at 27 Bridge Street in Greenport, became unstable and collapsed into Claverick Creek. The local chapter of the National Organization for Men and Women of Italian Heritage has agreed to pay the county $90,000 as a result. The investigation found the organization had permitted contractors to deposit fill and debris along the bank of the creek and then failed to implement effective fill stabilization and erosion control. Columbia County sustained damage as a result of the landslide and subsequently took legal action against the group. The landslide occurred in November 2017 when a 300 by 100 yard section of the bank gave way. No homes were damaged, but the creek was totally blocked as a result, with the towns of Greenport, Stockport, and Stoutsville included in the flood zone. The county declared a 2-week state of emergency until the collapse was repaired. An earlier, slightly smaller, but similar collapse occurred on the organization's property in 2006. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting that the state Senate has passed a package of 10 bills intended to strengthen local code enforcement statewide. The legislation was based on a report generated by the State Senate Investigations Committee, headed up by Senator James Scofis, Democrat of Woodbury, Orange County. Included in the legislation, a bill that would prohibit the use of plywood, wood composite, wood veneer, and similar products to board up vacant abandoned properties. The measure to make it easier for municipalities to address violations of building and fire prevent code. The creation of a residential rental registry, an increase in state code enforcement powers of the Secretary of State, penalties for dangerous apartment alterations, enhanced building code penalties for repeat offenders, fire extinguisher requirements, and the imposition of escalating fines for code violations and illegal conversions. Scopus said, and I quote, "This package of bills, I believe, will make a real significant difference in making sure that our residents and first responders are safe and living in really clean, respectable, safe housing conditions throughout the state, and this package is a good start and now heads to the assembly," end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Kate Lisa is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media. A Route 144 bridge replacement project in Coimans next year has a budget of $2.6 million. Earlier this month, state officials decided to replace the bridge in stages using one-way traffic signals. At the time of a public meeting in January, officials were weighing the decision, choosing between staging or closing the bridge with a detour on Route 143 and 9W during the construction. Project manager and designer Jeff McGurn said staging the bridge replacement will take between 6 and 7 months. Closing the thoroughfare to traffic with the detour would have taken about 12 weeks. In making the decision to repair the span in stages, DOT was responding to concerns expressed by residents and business owners around safety and other issues. Read the full story in the Ravenna Times-Herald. Brendan J. Lyons and Emily Munson are reporting for the Times Union. The private meeting between Governor Andrew M. Cuomo and President Donald J. Trump at the White House on Thursday, February 13th, produced no deal to lift a ban that prevents New York residents from participating in federal secure traveler programs. Acting U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf was in attendance and issued a statement afterward saying the discussions were, and I quote, productive, end quote, but will continue to, and I quote, find a mutually agreeable solution, end quote. The prohibition was issued by Homeland Security last week in response to the state's so-called green light law, which allows undocumented individuals to obtain driver's licenses. The law also cuts off access to the state's motor vehicle database by immigration and border agencies. Cuomo contends the federal agencies want continued access to the database, in part as a tool to track down the undocumented. Federal authorities argue that information sharing is a matter of national security and the database.
Okay, Clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house or stress house. We joke around or can be serious, so come here being versus or delirious. We don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back a nobody hoodie. Accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign in we make a pact. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We follow the rules, community guidelines too, so nobody here acting a fool. We got radio, we got tracks, then we hit the art room and relax. Now we about to hit a throwback.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio Live from Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting at Catskill Hudson. You were just listening to original Clubhouse theme song by DJ AJ. I'm Walter White.
DJ Popcorn.
And we're here today at the Clubhouse Radio discussing our topic as Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is play a few songs related to Black History Month. And we want to talk about why we chose these songs with you. After we listen to them, we're gonna elaborate on why these songs were chosen for Black History Month, and you know what? Why do they relate to us?
Right. So, I'm gonna play you the first song, which is A Tale of Two Cities by J. Cole. We'll be back after this quick song break.
Since a young and now we dream of getting rich. Look at me, fantasize about a white picket fence. It's a tree, used to want a pathfinder with some tents. That's all I need, those 20s on that bitch and get it rinsed. But now I see my dream that the world's a lot bigger ever since. Picked up the paper and they say, nigga, Eddie caught a body, I'm convinced. Anybody is a killer, all you gotta do is push them to the lips. Being timid in the civic, politicking with the pushers and the pimps. I'm trying to write a story, can I get a glimpse? And can I get a glimpse? Last night I had a bad dream. That I was trapped in the city, then I asked, is that really such a bad thing? They robbing things on the daily, can you blame them? That ain't ever had things. Guess not. Last night, they put up on my at the light like, nice watch, run it.
Hands in the air now, hands in the air.
Run it.
Hands in the air now, hands in the air.
Run it.
Hands in the air now, hands in the air. Hands in the air now, hands in the air.
Small town, Hollywood, dreams. I know that everything that glitters ain't gold. I know this ain't always good as it seems, but tell me till you get it, how could you know?
How could you know?
How could you know?
How could you know?
Listen up, I'm about to go and get rich. With me, we gon' suck around the villa and hit a lick. Got some trees, get some powder, bag it up and make a flip. You gon' see me, one day we gon' graduate and cop a brick. And that's the key, listen up, I'm about to go and get rich. Stand back and watch if you want to. Me, I want my pockets fatter, better built. Tired of seeing niggas flaunt, I wanna flaunt too. Two muscle rollers in a Crown Vic. Trying like a nigga up, that's what they won't do. Do wanna know a funny thing about this shoe. Even if you let them kill your dream, it'll haunt you. Last night I had a bad dream. That I was trapped in the city, then I asked, is that really such a bad thing? I look around like, do you want to be another nigga that ain't never had things? Guess
not. Last night, yep. J. Cole, Tale of Two Cities. That was picked by one of our other staff. He's not here
chef
today.
Miyagi.
Chef.
The chef.
I can see why he picked this song, because I really like the chorus a lot. It reminds me of, like,
you know,
the Eric Garner, Mike Brown situation, Sergeant Bland, you know, just police brutality and, you know, how we're being treated and stuff in the community. Issues that need to be tackled every day.
Yeah.
It was a good pick. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I like this song too, especially the chorus, you know. With the chorus being hands in the air, basically knowing that that's a police phrase that used to be, you know, still used back then as well. And it, you know, it was basically as like a symbol to all people, you know, hands up, we won't shoot you. And all these black people are all over the world just getting shot by police officers for no reason, just walking down the street minding their business, and the next thing you know, your cousin died. Like,
yeah.
And they don't even get punished, which is the worst part. All they do is get sent to a different station, which is the saddest part of it, too.
Yes.
And they expect it not to happen again. When you really just can't change a person based on their actions one time.
It's like a cycle, you know what I'm saying? Some come home, some go in. Do a bullet, come back, do the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're going to go to the next song.
The next song is Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud by James Brown. Hope you enjoy.
Was James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. That used to be one of my favorite songs when I used to come up when I was little. I used to hear that song all the time. But I think that was a very uplifting song. That was a power to the people song. It gave people strength. It made people want to build black communities. It made black people want to own their own things and have their own businesses. Gave them a voice and it gave them a sense of pride. That's what I feel about that song. What do you feel?
I agree.
Definitely a big sense of pride in that song. You sing it.
You can feel it, right?
Yeah.
You feel the energy when you're singing it. Make you feel proud about yourself. Make you want to have a voice. Make you want to voice your own opinion and stand up for your rights. That type of vibe. That's what I get from that. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. And so the next song that I'm going to play is I'm Not Racist by Joyner Lucas.
With all due respect, I don't have pity for you black. That's the way I feel. Screaming Black Lives Matter, all the black guys rather be deadbeats than pay your bills. Yelling this, that, call everybody get a bad. As soon as I say, then everyone react and want to swing at me and call me racist because I ain't black. Pound that then. Talking about slavery like you was around back then. Like you was picking cotton off the ground back then. Like you was on the plantation getting down back then. All right. Look. I see a black man aiming his gun, but I'd rather see a black man claiming his son. And I don't mean just for one day and you done. I mean, you still trapped in a rut. And I work my off and pay my taxes for what? So you can keep living on free government assistance, food stamps for your children, but you still trying to sell them for some that's some liquor off. Babysitter, why you party on the road? Because you ain't got no goals. You already late. You need to get your priorities straight. Wait. It's like you're proud to be fake, but you lazy as and you rather sell than get a job and be straight. And then you turn around and complain about the poverty rate. Got in my face. You can't escape problems. You can pray for some change, but can't break a dollar. Got nobody else to blame, so you blame Donald. If world would have make America great condom. My voice bent back. I'm not racist. My sister's boyfriend's black. I'm not racist. My sister-in-law's baby cousin Tracy got a brother and his girlfriend's black. My head's in the cloud. Heard there's not enough jobs for all the men in your house. Maybe we should build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. Or maybe we should send them all to the ghetto for now. I'm not racist. And I never lie, but I think there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. I worship the Einsteins, study the Steve Jobs, but you ride Tupac like he was a god. And all you care about is rapping and stunting and being ratchet. And that's it within you. Music rotting your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you let your kids listen and then the cycle continues. Blame it all on the menu. Blame it on those drinks. Blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on racist. I'm just prepared for this type of war. I heard Eminem's rap at the awards. Who's he fighting for? Y'all can take that too. He ain't white no more. It's like you want to be so famous. You'll do anything for attention and a little payment. I can't take you nowhere without people pointing fingers. Pants hanging off your... You ain't got no home training. Put your pants up. Put that suit back on. Take that do-rag off. Take that gold out your mouth. Quit the pitiful stuff. And then maybe police will stop killing you.
what the f-? I'm not racist. It's like we're living in the same building but split into two floors. I'm not racist. But there's two sides to every story. I wish that I knew yours. And that's one war you'll never win. The power in the word, the different sin. We shouldn't say it, but we do, and that's just what it is. But that don't mean that you can say it just because you got friends. That word was originated for you to keep us under. And when we use it, we know that's just how we greet each other. And when you use it, we know there's a double meaning under. And even if I wasn't picking cotton physically, that don't mean I'm not infected by the history. My grandmama was a slave, that's gifts to me, and you ain't got no sympathy, you. I'm sorry, you can never fill my life. Trying to have faith, but I never felt all right. It's hard to elevate when this country's ran by whites, judging me by my skin color and my blackness. Trying to find a job, but ain't nobody call me back yet. Now I gotta sell to put food in my cabinet. You ain't slick, this is all a part of your tactics. Don't talk about no taxes when I ain't making no dough. You think you know everything, but you don't. You wanna copy our slang and everything that we know. Try to steal black culture and make it your own. Whoa. I'm exhausted. I can't even drive without the cops trying to start. I'm tired of this systematic racism. All you do is false shit. This is shit that I'm false with. And you don't know shit about my people. That's what bothers you. You don't know about no fried chicken or no barbecue. You don't know about the two-step or no loose change. You don't know about no two chains or no Kool-Aid. You don't know.
And even though the rock is black. Join the Lucas. I'm not racist. You can't wait to get him out. That was a good song. That was a deep song on both parts. Like, they both had good things to say. That also reminds me of the conversation we had earlier when we first were talking about black history, like how Olivia said that some people might say slavery is so long ago, like, get over it, and
yeah,
you know, like, no, stuff like that, but not knowing that
song,
you know, you can still be affected. It trickles down from your grandparents to your parents, on down to you, and racism is still being, it's still being done today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it makes sense on both ends of what they were saying. That's what makes it such a good song, and it's always going to be a toss up every time, because everybody's going to always have their own views on it. What do y'all think?
You know. So, like, I just, you know, found what I was speaking on earlier, you know, about the fact that, like, people will say, like, oh, you weren't alive back then, like, you weren't picking cotton on the plantation, it was a long time ago, like, get over it, you know, and I was just, like, I'm gonna quote the song quick, and the song says, and even if I wasn't picking cotton physically, that don't mean I'm not affected by the history. My grandmama was a slave. It gets to me, and you have no sympathy, you know.
Yeah, that was a strong line.
I mean, if you think about it, when this country was built, black people were not a part of the process.
No.
So this is not. This was never for us. This was never with us in mind, and I mean, how can we not still be affected now? There wasn't, I mean, there's been drastic changes, but still a lot needs to happen, and the mindset of people just needs to change overall.
Yeah, you know.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree.
Same. It's just been, like, a long road, you know, just living out here and this time and era, just, like, thinking about all the things that have happened back then and now, and just thinking about if we were alive back then and the things that we'd have had to go through if we were, you know, if we had to experience the things that our ancestors did, if we had to experience things from somebody else's eyes that maybe was a slave on a plantation.
I mean, like, who cares if we actually, the black people of this time actually pick cotton or not? Like,
it's still
affected by it. It's still our people who went through it. It's still us. It's still our story. It's going to be our history. No matter what, we're always going to be looked upon as that. You know what I'm saying? And we're still trying to rise up off of that stigma. So for them to just, you know, for people who say things like that so easily, you know, they need to put their shoes, put themselves in your shoes if they can, if they can even do that, and see where you're coming from. So, you know what I mean?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you a quick excerpt of Richard Wright, Black Boy.
Still, in the sense of him describing and analyzing the whole existence of black people as an oppressed nation, that's priceless.
I was scared. All my life I heard of black men being killed because of white girls. And there I was.
Richard Wright proved that a black writer could write considerably better than most of the white writers of his day. And after Native Son, the condescending attitude toward black writers was over.
He said, nothing comes before my art. For him, his art was sacred. He didn't care about anything else but that. What he had to do was the most important thing.
Can't imagine what it had to be like to live under conditions of not only repression, tremendous racist discrimination, but no outlet for talking about it, for seeing a way of changing.
In the early 1940s, I would say that most white Americans never thought about blacks. They never thought about
blacks. So that was Richard Wright, you know, Richard Wright, Black Boy. It's an excerpt from a documentary about Richard Wright and, you know, what he stood for and things like that.
Yeah, right. Gotta go catch that. See what that's about. Maybe go pull that up after the show.
Yeah. So, you know, just like a little bit about what this lady here was saying, speaking about how we didn't really have, like, the outfit and, like, the things like that to actually go and speak on things like that, you know. Things like slavery, things like the KKK, things that were happening back then that, you know, just weren't being addressed because we were too afraid at the time. And, you know, all of a sudden, so many black people were just getting killed out of nowhere, and we just, you know,
yeah,
we had nothing to do with it because we were looked down upon, you know. We were seen as lesser, and so.
Suppression.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we're coming to the end of our time. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. If you're 12 to 18 and want to get involved on our programming radio show, join us for radio workshop at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse every Thursday and Friday at 5 p.m. Next week on Clubhouse Radio, we'll probably be talking about black history again. We're not sure yet, but most likely.
Yeah.
But we're going to finish out with a song by Tupac called
Dear Mama.
The song, the anthem of the black mother, the queen. Let's go. Thank you for coming, joining us.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. higher. There's no way I can pay you back, but the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
please, no one above you.